speaker is Sister Joanne Mueller, and she's also from our church, and she's a wonderful prayer warrior and lady of God and a lover. And welcome, Sister Joanne Mueller. Thanks, Jade. She gets to introduce me since she's the first speaker. It's pretty cool. It's pretty nice. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. I'm glad to be here today, and I also thank the ladies that invited me to speak today, because I was terrified to do so, but God said, you need to do this. You need to get out of yourself. So here I am, and I am speak with confidence today. I say this boldly, but I speak it in confidence that I am not here by accident, because I really didn't want to do it because I was so terrified, okay? But God is going to speak to somebody today. His presence is here. The Holy Ghost is in this room. And what I speak today is not my own, okay? Yeah, I had to dig some of this stuff up. But before they even asked me to speak, God dropped something on me. And that was really cool, too. Okay. So the other speakers that had to think about their topic, God help them. God bless you, Sister Aliana, for whatever you're speaking today. He was very kind and merciful to me, and I give him all the glory. Okay, I am speaking from two portions of Scripture today. The first one is in 1 Kings chapter 17, if I can find it, because I've got glasses right here, but I don't have them on my face, and it would help if I would put them on. And it says, and it came to pass after these things. Am I in the right one? No, I'm not. I'm so sorry. It's 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Let me put these glasses on. And this is what it really says. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that's before Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. So, in this scripture setting, Elijah makes some bold proclamations. Scripture doesn't record that he went to God first and prayed and said, God, I'm going to do this, so you do this. He just starts speaking faith. And God honors that. And he says, hey, you need to go hide, because the preacher, he doesn't really say this, but this is what happened, because he proclaimed that to King Ahab, who was married to wicked Jezebel, right? And we're going to find out that says after a while, everybody say after a while. Okay, God did what he said. Elijah obeyed. He went to the brook. God fed him with the ravens, but after a while, the brook dried up. And sometimes in your life, you're going to hit a dry spot. It may be natural causes that it just happens, you know. It may be death. It may be the loss of a job. It may be sickness. It may be taking care of a loved one. It's rough, isn't it? It's not easy, is it, Sister Charlotte? Wears on your mind, doesn't it? Really wears on everything, if you want to know the truth. You want to do it, but it's just life, right? And sometimes you just get wore down. Sometimes you're just tired, and these things come. Sometimes, though, you have a little help with it. We can all go, Sometimes we don't have the best attitude. Sometimes we need to forgive. Sometimes we said the wrong thing. I said last week, my son, we were singing last weekend at a conference, and I let him go with his uncle to eat. Well, he didn't communicate with me. It was time for me to leave. Oh, I'm going to tell you, the meter was up high. The anger level, the mom level was like, it was through the roof. And buddy, when I got him in the car, why didn't you communicate me? Why didn't you get a cell phone? He doesn't have one yet, so he would have had to borrow one. But good grief, everybody has one, right? Couldn't he have called me? He said, hey, Mom, you need to come get me. Instead of me going, you're going with me, right? And of course, then at that point, one changed his mind, saying, "Oh, I cannot." I said, "No, you're not. You're going to be in that car when we leave." Oh, buddy, I just chewed him out royally. And I was thinking, oh, all this stuff I'm teaching him, trying to teach him about patience and being kind, and I just broke every rule that I've been teaching him. And I had to go back and apologize. That hurt. But sometimes you're going to hit a dry place. And here's what you got to do. It says that the word of the Lord came to him and said, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon," which is where Jezebel was from. And she had brought in all her false gods and idols, and they were killing preachers. She was a preacher killer. She loves to kill the word of God. She really loves to kill the man of God who carries the word of God. Said, "Get up, leave, go to Zidon, because there's a woman there that's going to sustain you." And you know what? He got up and he did it. He left. And it says when he got to the city, she was gathering sticks. Oh, what I wanted to tell you was that when you get to that dry place, you got to move. Yeah. You got to move. You can't stay there. You got to get up and move from that dry place. That means if you pray in 10 minutes a day, pray 15. If you're fasting one day a week, fast two. You got to do something to get out of that place where you're at. And you have to do it. It's not something God can do. God's going to bless you. He's going to bring the ravens, okay? He's going to drop the bread. He's going to drop, you know, he's going to bring you food. But when the brook dries up, you got to move. Everybody say, "I got to move." So he arose. He moved. He went to Zarephath. And there was the woman, just like God said, to sustain him. And she was gathering sticks. And he says, "Hey, could you get me a drink of water in a vessel?" And she goes to do it. And he says, "Oh, hey, while you're going, could you bring me a little cake?" And she says, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks." I'm talking today about expectancy. By the way, I think my title said expect miracles. Put an ing on that, because I don't think God just wants you to expect one time. He wants us to continually expect him to work. And so she's going to go. She says, "I've got a cruse of oil. I'm gathering two sticks that I can go in and dress it for my son, for me and my son." And listen to her expectancy, "that we may eat it and die." That's it. No more. Nothing else. No hope. No lot. Maybe after we eat this, maybe we can find some Chick-fil-A. You know, maybe after we eat this, we might find a crumb. Nope. We're just going to eat it and we're going to die. That's her expectancy. Nothing. I'm going to die. You ever been there where you think, "How am I going to get out of this?" Has the devil done that to you? I'm telling you that I was in a situation one time. The devil absolutely came out after my family. He was after the whole thing. My marriage, my kids, he wanted to destroy it all. And I mean, this went on for years. And listen to what this says. Let me say this first. It says, Elijah tells her, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. Go and do what you've said, but make me a cake first, and then after, fix for you and your son." And here's why. I mean, he just goes ahead and gives her the promise. "The barrel of meal shall not waste. The cruse of oil shall not fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And to me, that's the greater miracle. I'm just going to tell you, God's got the meal and the oil in control. So the circumstances in your life that seems like it's either at an end or I don't know how this is going to go, because that's where I was at. I was like, "God, where is this going? Because from what I'm looking at, it's not good. It's not a good place, you know? I don't know what's happening here." But the word of God, when she talked to Elijah, she called the Lord thy God. It wasn't even her God yet. It's the Lord thy God. But somehow, something inside this woman grabs hold of what that man of God says. And it says that she went and did. She got up from where she was at and she moved. And she said, "Well, hey, at this point, my expectancy is to die. this guy's giving me a promise. Maybe he can uphold his word. And she grabs hold of that. Let me tell you, if you want to see God work in your life, you need to grab hold of what your man of God is telling you. Do not discount or belittle the word of the man of God. Now, it's really easy, like if your pastor happens to be related to you, you know, it's really easy because you know them, okay? Our pastor happens to be our bishop's son. It would be real easy for me to say, that's Jeremy Wilbanks. I was his youth pastor, you know, we were his youth pastor at one time. You know, I remember when he was a little kid. It would be real easy to do that. Don't. Oh, my Lord, I've had times that my pastor has spoken into my life and told me that situation that I didn't know what to do, and I was angry and I was bitter. He said, Joanne, it wasn't even from the pulpit. He said, Sister Joanne, here's what you need to do. I want you to go find that person. I want you to wrap your arms around them. I want you to tell them that you love them. I want you to tell them that they are a good person, whether you feel it or not. And I did not feel it. I'm the last of 5 kids. We all fussed and fought with each other. You know, most of us have the Holy Ghost these days. Thank the Lord. We got 2 brothers that's coming in Jesus' name. I'm expecting. But I went and I put my arms around that person. I said, I love you. And you are a good person. Some of you ladies, I'm just going to tell you, you need to go home. I didn't say this to the other group. I don't know why. You need to put your arms around your husband. And you need to tell him, I love you. I don't care what he's done. I don't care how sorry it is. I don't care what he has said. I don't care what he's done. But you need to go put your arms around that man. And you need to say, I love you. You are a great man. You're not going to see it unless you speak it to him. Okay? That's not in my notes. But tell him. Just do it. Just do it. Okay? All right, so we all know that she brought him the cake first, and the meal and the oil did not run out until the day that it rained. She left the place that where she was at. Now, on a happy note, there's a man in our church. Y'all may know him, Brother Robert Brantley. Before 2020. His boss he had worked at Pepper's Deli as the manager for about 8 years, I think, his wife said. And they just came in and just dismissed him with a family to feed. And he's trying to find out what he's going to do. And he's talking to Pastor, and Pastor told him, said, hey, you need to start your own business. And that's been, you know, at least 6 years. How many employees total did she say? 13? They have 16 employees. 8 of those employees, at least 8 of them, and others who have worked there and, you know, maybe quit or whatever. Okay. He supports 8 people in our church with full-time, either part-time or full-time. Most of them are full-time employees. 8 people. And that's just the people out of our church. He has 16 total. And he started with one business of repairing electrical repair, you know, stoves, refrigerators, and he's branched off now doing that, and also HVAC, you know, air conditioners and that sort of thing. And God just continually, because he listened to a man of God. So if the man of God's saying start a business, start thinking about what you're going to do. If the man of God is saying, hey, you need to start learning the piano, you better find you somebody or get something online. There's no excuses these days. You can find it. If he's telling you to do something, you need to do it. All right, I got to hurry. Moving on to Matthew. Here's another woman. Matthew chapter 15. What is so neat is these women are from the same area in Zidon. I don't know why that got my attention and that I had to research, you know, that Zidon was where Jezebel was from and that, you know, she was killing God's preachers, and she was a worshiper of Baal. And when Ahab married her, this flooded into Israel, this idolatry, and God hated it. And that's not even my message, but it's so powerful that these women who were not, that didn't know that they listened to God's word. This says, Matthew 15, verse 21, it says, then Jesus departed, he went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. The difference in these women is, like, the first one, Elijah came to her, even though God had said, hey, there's a widow that's going to sustain you. I've commanded a widow to sustain her. And it's like, I don't know, maybe God dropped a thought, like Sister Jade was talking about. Maybe God dropped a thought or an impression. You know, the Bible doesn't really say it in the scripture how that she knew, but the woman took care of him. This woman, though, she runs to Jesus. She had heard of him. Mark it talks about that she had heard about what he did. And she runs to him. And she gets nothing. Have you ever prayed like that before and you got nothing? That you're like, it just seems like it just bounced off the ceiling. And it's like, did that even go anywhere? Okay, I've had that happen a lot, okay? A lot. And I've just, you can write this down. Just because God is silent doesn't mean that he's not going to do it. Just because God is silent doesn't mean that he's not going to do it, okay? All right, maybe you've prayed and he didn't do it. Maybe you've prayed 100 times and he didn't do it. I don't care. I don't care how long you've prayed. I don't care how long he's been backslidden. I don't care how long that kid has been lost. I don't care how long you've been praying for whatever it is you're praying for. It doesn't mean that he's not going to do it. Okay, so he didn't answer. Well, she said, you know, this word cry, it's the Greek word kradzo. And I didn't have time to look it up, but I'm going to tell you, it's spelled K-R-A-Z-O. What does that look like? Crazy. This woman, whose daughter was grievously vexed with the devil, was crazy for God, for somebody to help her. She was desperate. This cry of this raven, I had to look it up. I had to listen to it. It's like a croaky cry. I can't do it like with a growl, and it said that this sound can be heard up to a mile away. She was one whacked out woman, okay, wanting somebody to help her. And I don't know, but when I was going through my situation, I was a little bit the same. There was times that I was praying out to God in screams because there were no words. I don't know what to say. And the Bible says that there's groanings, that we pray to him with groanings that cannot be uttered. And there's things that you're going to pray about that you don't have the words for them. And it comes out as a groan. This woman would not shut up. So much so that she goes to the disciples and they besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. This crazy woman's after us. Would you send her away? And he says, I didn't come to her anyway. I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And this woman in her desperation, this Syrophoenician woman who's just seen what he did. She doesn't know, but she saw him do some things and she said, hey, I'm going after this. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And she does the next best thing. She worships him. But guess what? He doesn't do anything. So after you've prayed and your prayers have hit the ceiling, and you've worshiped and nothing's happened, you can't give up. She did not give up. He said, hey, is it meat that I jerk? Is it right that I would jerk bread out of kids' mouths? and feed it to the dog? None of you would do that. Okay? You wouldn't go buy Chick-fil-A, as I was saying earlier, and then go feed it to the dog and not your kid? Or while it's in their mouth? If you're right here or right here, you're in bad spots today. I'm giving that to the dog. He said, that wouldn't even be right. She was a dog. She was a Gentile. And this woman has the audacity to look at him and say two words. She said, truth, Lord. Somebody told me in the last class that this would be a better title to say, just a crumb will do. So you might want to put that down. I thought this was pretty cute. Just a crumb will do. She said, you know what? Everything that you're saying about me is true. I'm a dog. I'm a Gentile. I'm all those things you're saying, Lord. But even the little puppies. She said, is it not true, Lord, that even the little puppies eat the crumbs from the master's table? She gives him this great honor. She's basically saying, okay, I'm getting who you are. Okay, I get it. You are God, and I am saying that, Lord, if all you can give me is a crumb, that'll be enough to deliver my daughter. And he is so moved. Y'all, this is the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. I'm telling you, God has got the meal, and he's got the oil in control. You don't have to worry about that. It doesn't matter how little there is of it. The situation, God has got it in control. He says back to her a term of respect. Oh, woman. I mean, he goes from calling her a dog to immediately lifting her up and says, oh, woman. And that was like one of the highest honors you could give women, to recognize them with honor. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto me, even as thou wilt. He basically said, okay, you can just have whatever you want. Just take it. Yeah. Whatever you've determined, you can have it. And the Bible says that from that her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I think Mark talks about this. She goes home and her daughter was lying on the bed and the devil was departed. You can't stop the first time with God. There, even him, when he prayed for people, he prayed for a blind man that he spit in his eyes and he said, look up, what do you see? And that man said, well, I see men, they look like trees walking around. And the Lord said, just pray again. And he laid his hands. Even he prayed more than once for things. So don't be discouraged when you've got to pray more than one time. I don't know. You know, I don't understand the way God works. You know, sometimes I don't understand why things are done. Some things are done immediately, and some things take time. You know, he prayed for a woman with the spirit of infirmity, and the Bible says that when he prayed for her, she had been bound for 18 years and that she was immediately loosed. I don't know why. Brother Ken, artist in our church, just a few weeks ago, Brother Carson, Sister Carson that's here, her husband was preaching, and he had hurt his shoulder, was having excruciating pain. Brother Carson's preaching, and he's preaching about us having each other's back. He goes over and grabs Brother Ken, links him like arms, and Brother Ken said he just about passed out. It was so painful. And he grabbed him, and he brings him across the platform, and about that time, he brings him so that they're back to back, and he says, you know, I've got your back. And when he did that, Brother Ken said his shoulder popped, because Brother Carson had him pulled, stretched out. His shoulder popped, and the pain was gone immediately. Yes. Some miracles take time. My sister's here today. Her husband has been backslid for 40 years, and Sunday will be 2 weeks that he prayed through. Woo. To the Holy Ghost. Yes. He'd slowly been coming, like he was praying. But I'm telling you, something happened Sunday morning, of all things. And y'all, it's like somebody just flipped the light switch. Yes. I mean, it's like there's been no, like, let's ease back into it. Like, he's telling her, hey, we need to do this, and we need to get rid of this, and we need to, I mean, that quick. My mother-in-law, in 1994, she was diagnosed with aplastic anemia. She was 55 years old, and I was there. My sister-in-law worked in healthcare, and so decided that Seattle, Washington had the best care, and we all flew there, and I was sitting at the table when they said, you know, Ms. Spiegel, we can only give you a 10% chance of survival. This usually happens in children, but at your age, this is what we can, you know, we're going to tell you, we'll outline the plan. And the plan was chemo. They did it. We're going to do a bone marrow transplant. She had a sister that matched. They did it. She had to be in a sterile tent for, I forget how many days, that if you went in, you had to, like, put all this stuff on. She had to put creams in every orifice of her body. I'm talking about daily. It was a daily thing. When she came home, she looked like death warmed over, so she couldn't even get out of the bed. She was just lying there. If you had saw her, you would have thought, she's gone. This is the end. But I remember Sister Wilbanks, she would come visit her, and she would sit in the room, and she would just, she had such a quiet, like, peaceful, like, whispery voice like this. And she, I would hear her in there just reading the Word of God over Winnell. Well, Winnell is 84 years old now, and normally when you do that, you have to fly back every so many years for checkups. So she went for her five-year checkup, and they said, we're not going to need to see you. And that's been, that was 5 years after it happened, okay, not 5 years ago. I'm talking about 5 years after it happened. They said, you know what, we don't need to see you again unless you have some problems. 10%. I'm telling you, don't stop expecting. Leave this room today with a mind. I am going to expect some things that seem impossible. Things that seem, people that seem unreachable. I mean, just do it. Like the light switch that I was talking about. Flip it in your brain and go, and I'm leaving here today. Not the same.
That's right.
Not the same. That God, you're going to do some amazing. I'm telling you, He is on the edge of His seat. He is waiting on us. He is waiting on us. Whatever you're asking Him for, believe Him. Expect it.
Oh, put your arms around your husband. Maybe you need to do it to his son.
I don't know what to say.
Don't let it do that.
I'm going to go to the next one.